Before I start, let's pray that God will bless and open our hearts to receive him. Oh, gracious and loving Father, we give you thanks for the opportunity, Lord, that you've given me through Pastor Cedric and Susie, Lord, to share your word this evening. Father, I pray that everything that is said will bring glory to your name, Lord. And I pray for every ear that's here, Lord God, that you open them, Lord God, and let this message speak to everyone's heart in whatever way and however you want it to be done. I make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In fact, the message that I'm sharing with you is, the heading is Hearing the Voice of God. There have been many sermons spoken about the subject, about the voice of God, and there are many even books written about the subject. And while I'm no theologian or evangelist speaking on the subject, I will recount a number of instances where I've heard the voice of God. And I hope that through this testimony that I'm going to share with you of how God spoke to me, will perhaps allow you to know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And as he spoke in Bible times, he can speak to us today. Amen. And as I share God's word, let me quote you one scripture first as starters, and that's from Hebrews 13:15. It says, remember what it says. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. Now, the same plea was made in Psalms 95, verse 8. But let me read it to you from verse 6. It says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today. The Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah, as they did in Massah in the wilderness. So that's a precursor to my reference text. So what God is telling us, don't harden your heart. Because if God speaks, you must be ready to receive. And the only way of receiving it is to have a soft heart. So my reference text for today is John 10:27, where Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, preceding this verse, in John 10:10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Did you know that a flock of sheep belonging to a shepherd knows the distinct voice of that shepherd? Jesus was using a metaphor when speaking to the Pharisees and those who did not believe in Jesus, that those who did believe in him, Jesus knew would not follow a stranger. He would follow that voice, Jesus, the shepherd. But in fact, the sheep that does not recognize that voice, they will run away, because the sheep only knows the voice of the shepherd and not of the stranger. Jesus continues in John 10:7-10, it says, therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate to the sheep, for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and I have it, and have it to the full. So I'm going to show you a video of a flock of sheep hearing the voice of strangers and that of the shepherd, and just see the reaction of the sheep. Thanks, Jenna.
One more time.
Oh, one is.
This world, there is much noise clamoring for our attention and possible action, whether they are from social media, advertising, TV, radio, music, newsprint, books, articles, friends, work colleagues, family, and even preachers. If these sources are speaking to us and bombarding us with messages, can we discern if they are speaking to us with messages of life from God or from the flesh or even from the devil? Every single believer knows the voice of God. It is just whether they recognize it and actually attribute it to Jesus. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." In Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." You know, when we give our hearts to God, that begins a journey with Him. At the end of the day, God wants a relationship with us. The relationship of closeness. So relationship building, however, does not just happen on Sundays. Jesus wants a relationship with His flock all the time. So how do you begin a relationship? And I'm going to share three instances here. You begin as an acquaintance with someone, then you become their friend, then you become best friends. And that's the same with God. As soon as you get saved and give your heart to Jesus, you're in the acquaintance category. This is where you say, "Okay, Lord, I believe in you. Yes, Lord, I give my life to you. I know a little bit about you, Jesus, but I'm willing and ready to learn more." This is when you reach being the friend of Jesus level. At this level, you're spending more time with Him. You're getting to know Him. You're getting to know His heart. And you're getting to know His heart. You're building a connection with Jesus. The third level is when you hit the intimacy stage with Jesus, that best friend level. At this level, you understand His emotions. You know what He's feeling about situations are. You know how He would respond to the situations around you. Just as in the Hillsong United song, Hosanna, where in the last verse it says, "Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me, and break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause as I walk from earth to eternity." That is the intimate level that you reach. And that's what God created us for, to be in relationship with Him at an intimate level, and this is how we bring heaven to earth. And that's all He's asked us to do. Here is one testimony of me hearing God's voice The year was 1990. My second child, Jonathan, was about 6 to 8 months old, and I had him at home while Jennifer and my daughter Jessica were at a Sunday evening service. I decided then to do a video recording of myself so that I could send a copy of that to my parents who lived in Perth, and this is in Melbourne. Prior to this time, prior to that Sunday, having given my heart to Jesus 4 years earlier, I was still practicing my Catholic obligations by going to Catholic Mass on Saturday evenings, which also included our family regularly attending 2 Sunday services at Clayton EOG. On this particular Sunday evening, I stayed home and began the recording by telling my parents, and this is where I had set up the video, and I was talking to the video, and of course, imagining that I was talking to my parents, telling them about Jennifer and Jessica being away at church, and I at home with Jonathan, and giving other family updates. When I replayed that video back, I heard God using my own voice, telling me that I should not be separated in my worship of Him, but I should be united with my whole family in fellowship with others. Hearing my own voice telling me that. So God was reminding me something was not right. That was a conviction I had to wrestle with. And within a week or two, I finally decided to not attend a Catholic Mass and have been faithful to the assembly ever since, Clayton Assembly of God. So my reference scripture as a reminder to me of this event is found in 2 Corinthians 13:11, where it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." So the question that I'm posing you now is, how do we get to that point of being intimate with Jesus, being His best friend? Well, spending time with Jesus is one way to get to that intimate level. Spending time in His Word is crucial. We've heard that many times by Pastor Cedric or Susie or whoever's preaching here. Spending time in worship is another thing. Spending time in prayer is one. And also spending time in silence in the Lord is important. Isaiah 30:15 says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." Once you've done all that, then expect God to speak. But also listen. Because half of communication is listening. Under the old covenant, only the prophets could generally hear from God and be His mouthpiece. Also in the Old Testament, God spoke audibly many times, and though He still can, things are a little different today. Today we are not limited to being where God's prophet is and to be where He is proclaiming God's word or a message from God. In the New Covenant, and we are part of the New Covenant, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And He is constantly wanting to be in communication with us. The Holy Spirit is not restricted by geography or time zones. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent, meaning present everywhere at once. In the Bible, there are 2 Greek words for the word word, W-O-R-D. The first is logos, which is the inspired word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The second Greek word we see in scripture is rhema, the rhema word of God. This is more of a whisper or an utterance from the Holy Spirit on what we are supposed to do and how scripture relates to the here and now. It's God speaking in the moment. So sometimes you may receive a rhema word from God that directs you to a specific passage in scripture that applies to your current situation. And some of us can attest to that. So the way that God speaks is different for everyone. But a lot of times it's a still small whisper. It's a gut feeling. You just know when the Holy Spirit is giving you counsel. After all, He's a great counselor and a great comforter. He gives us discernment. Holy Spirit gives us prophecy. And He gives us wisdom. For some people, it's a thought that just rushes in. And it's nowhere close to what we have been thinking about. Sometimes it's a dream. Sometimes it's a picture that you see with eyes open. Sometimes you see it with your eyes closed. Sometimes it's a sense of peace and joy that we have, even though we may be in a situation of chaos all around us. Sometimes it's wisdom given to us by the Holy Spirit in a given situation. In John 14:16, John writes, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." It is important, however, to recognize that God speaks to us through Scripture and through the prompting of the Holy Spirit by the tugging of your heart, that inner voice, that Holy Spirit whisper. The tugging of this heart, that the tugging of my heart, was the case when I felt in 2019 to register to undertake the Diploma of Counseling at the Christian organization, the Australian Institute of Counseling. I had that thought some years earlier, but it started getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I knew that it was the Holy Spirit who was almost pushing me to pick up that form to register myself. As I told my lecturers when they asked the question why I was doing it, I said I was doing it to prepare myself for whatever God has for me. An open statement. What God has for me. Because I was doing it not realizing what I was going to do. The Apostle Paul writes this in Ephesians 2:10. He says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So God has prepared for each one of us a good work to be done, something to be done. We need to be prepared and ready to do it. And sometimes God prompts us to do things that we would not have otherwise done. And that was one example. There are other vehicles by which God speaks to us, and we need to be discerning when God speaks. God can speak through us through gifted teachers whose source is the Bible. We read in Romans 12:6-8, it says that God has given each one the gifts of prophecy and the gift of faith, the gift of teaching, the gift of encourager. So God has given each one a gift. Some are teachers. And when they teach from Scripture, we need to be ready and willing to listen. And that is why we need to listen and be present in our minds, in our spirit. Because who knows? God may be speaking to us at that very moment. And we need to be ready to receive that message. In my case, there was an incident where two men of God, on two separate instances, in two separate states in Australia, spoke into my life about my job situation. The first was at Clayton Church, our church, Clayton, during an evangelical meeting conducted by evangelist Andre Vangile in the late 1990s. Some of you may remember that. He prophesied over me and said, "What the enemy has taken, God will restore. What the enemy has taken, God will restore." speaking over me. Right? I could hear that voice. Hands laid on my forehead. He did not know at that time of my work situation when I was, without justification, removed from my position I held and was transferred into special projects. Now, those who are working know that that's code for holding position. Andre Van Zyl didn't know of my work situation, but God did. But God did. A few weeks later, my wife and I traveled to Perth on holidays, as we normally do because my parents were there. And there we came to know that Pastor Colton from Jennifer's home church in Sri Lanka was preaching at a local church, a suburb close to where we were staying. We went, and after the preaching of the word, Pastor Colton called those in church leadership to come forward to be prayed for. Jennifer nudged me and said, "Go forward." And even though I was only a visitor there, I went forward. When Pastor Colton prayed for me, he also prophesied over me, saying that God has gone before me and taken back what the enemy had taken. Clear words, I still remember to this day. Pastor Colton did not know of my situation, but God knew. God was working through these two men of God and spoke into my life. God's voice through them. As an aside, the two people that caused me to move location, my immediate boss and his superior, were dismissed from the company a few months later. You can see how God works. He can satisfy your requirement and remove, take back what the enemy has taken. Yeah. When I returned to Melbourne, there was a new job opportunity in another company. I knew in my spirit that this was God's plan. I took the position, and while it was substantially less pay, within 3 months, I reached a salary far greater than when I left the previous company. God was testing me. God was testing me. I can say that in hindsight. I'd been with this company for 24 years and rose to be chief information officer, the position I held for over 10 years and the position I had just before retiring in December 2020. I believe that was the hand of God, the audible voice of God spoken through the two men of God. In 2 Corinthians 13:1, Paul says, "Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses." God can also speak to us through life's challenges that we might be facing. David heard the voice when he was in difficulties. He writes in Psalms 119:67, 68, "Before I was afflicted with great distress and troubled, I went astray, but now I keep and honor your word with loving obedience. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." David went through troubled times, but he knew that God was speaking to him and reassuring him that he, God, was in control. God can also speak to us through his creation. Again, David writes in Psalms 19, 1-4, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." God doesn't just speak through the order and design we find in creation, but also through the beauty that surrounds us. From something as mundane as a bunch of daffodils popping up from the ground in springtime, to the spectacular views of distant galaxies, doesn't this tell us that a creator exists, but that this creator is an artist without peer? The feelings of awe that come over us as we watch the waves pound against the rocks at the beach, or holding a newborn baby for the first time, are in fact God speaking to us through His masterpiece. Hallelujah. It is through nature and what I see around me that inspires me to write my monthly essays. God spoke to my heart when I saw the beauty of autumn leaves while walking around the Dalesford Lake early this year. It was then that I wrote my June essay on the benefits of a short holiday. So God speaks to us in nature. Hallelujah. God can use whatever or whoever to speak to us. God even used a donkey to speak to Balaam. Numbers 22, the chapter, records this incident. And I'm just going to read to you from 27 to 31, just to give you the context and just hear what the words of the donkey says. Balaam answered the donkey. This is after Balaam had whipped the donkey a couple of times already, when the donkey asked him to do certain things. Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden on this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed down and fell face down. So God can allow anyone or whoever to speak his voice. It is very important to know that when God speaks, it is never in disagreement with the Bible. When God speaks, it's about giving life, not taking life. It's always about doing good, not doing evil. It's about holiness. It's about faithfulness. It's about righteousness. It's about wisdom. It's about truth. So it's never against God's word. Jesus defined a Christian when he said, as I mentioned in the beginning, John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." With this understanding, Jesus' ministry becomes the model for hearing God today. The Holy Spirit speaks firstly to remind us of the truths Jesus established on earth, which are in Scripture, and then to address areas that are yet to come. John 16:13 says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." This ultimately leads us to the position where sin and selfishness are put to death, because we are focused on doing good. We are focused on life. We are focused on what God wants. This means that more likely we hear the Holy Spirit talks about or speaks about forgiveness and restoration than about our worldly desires, which are not pleasing to God. In Susie's sermon this morning, it's all about bringing glory to God. Whatever He does, He wants us to bring glory to Him. So reestablishing the link between Jesus and the Holy Spirit means that our God conversations will be aligned to God's agenda and not to our own. An orientation that will minimize our disillusionment and fallout from His plan and purpose for our lives. The Bible says in Isaiah 30:21, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your eyes will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' There is only one true source of wisdom and truth." And the Apostle Paul recognized that when he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words to eternal life." So there are many ways that God speaks to us. We only need to be sensitive to hearing His voice. Now, can anything keep us from hearing God's voice? Is my last question to you this evening. Yes, wrong attitudes can keep us from hearing God's voice. Resentment can keep us from hearing God's voice. Unconfessed sin can keep us from hearing God's voice. It can create a distance between our relationship with God. When this happens, confession and repentance will bring us back into a close relationship where we can hear from God. John 8:47 says, "Whoever is of God hears the word of God." The reason why we do not hear them is that we are not of God. John 8:47. At the end of the day, it all boils down to the fact that God wants to be in relationship and communication with us, his children, the sheep of his flock, the way that he wanted us originally in the garden with Adam and Eve. So spend time with him, spend time in the word, spend time in prayer, spend time in silence, and listen. God wants to speak to us. God wants to speak to us. Because why? We are in fellowship with him. And like any parent, you want your children to respond to you. You want your children to speak to you. And you want to speak back to them. And this brings me to the conclusion of the message. As I said, there are many preachers speaking about the voice of God. But it is that it's a question of where we are in that relationship with him. As an acquaintance, as a friend, or as a best friend. We all want to be in that intimate relationship with God because he wants to have a relationship with us. And God can use vehicles, teachers, nature. He can use anyone and whoever he wants to speak to us, circumstances to speak to us. So in conclusion, let's bow our heads and I'll pray that God will speak to us in your own private way because he knows our hearts. He knows our frailties. He knows our strengths, and he knows how we like to be communicated with. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks, Lord God, for reminding me, Lord God, the instances when you spoke to me, Lord. And Father, I've just simply communicated and testified of your goodness in sharing these examples to your people this morning. And Father, as we've seen the video, Lord God, that the sheep will only hear the voice of the shepherd. And Father, we are your sheep, Lord. And Father, let us not be distracted by voices of strangers, by circumstances that are not of you, Lord. Allow us, Lord God, to test them, Lord. But Father, we know that the Holy Spirit is the one that guides us. And we know, oh God, that if we continue to understand your word, to read your word, to pray, to confess our sin, to spend time in silence, you will speak. And let our ears be open to receive you. I make this prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.